Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Everybody, my name is Roman Karpyshka, and welcome to Medium Insights by the Forever Family Foundation's Signs of Life. Okay, I think it's on the second Thursday of every month, we do a kind of interview process with different Forever Family Foundation certified mediums, and you know, kind of try to find out what makes them tick and how things work, and just, you know, it's more of an educational thing. Again, my name is Roman Karpyshka, and we will be tonight's guest, by the way, is an amazing medium by the name of Laura Lynn Jackson. You probably heard of her. She's really, really good. She's a gifted medium who's been certified with the Forever Foundation since 2005 and sits on its advisory board. She has a private practice in New York. She's also a research medium with the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. And she's the author of the New York Times bestselling The Light Between Us. She's been practicing mediumship, I think, professionally for the last 20 years and continues to seek ways to, you know, to heal people, breathe through spirit connections. In addition to seeing, hearing, and feeling spirit, she's also proficient in reading people's energy field. Her evidential and compassionate style has earned her a wonderful reputation over the years. And in case anybody's interested, well, I'm sure there are lots of people interested, her website is www.lauralynnjackson.com. So www.lauralynnjackson.com. Okay, so also want to mention that tonight's sponsor is the Camelec Center, and we have a lot of other good sponsors as well, so we'll be going through a couple of commercial breaks with them. And we will be taking phone calls a little bit later on, and the toll-free number to call if you have any questions is 888-627-6008. But please take note that Laura will not be doing readings tonight. This is a show where we dive into the investigations of what makes mediums tick, what makes them think, how they do what they do, and we deal with various topics on that. And in order to stay focused on that, we try to avoid the actual reading part. But there are other shows on Thursdays which deal specifically with that. So, having said all of that, I want to welcome you, Laura. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Roman. This is such a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's so great to have you. As I was saying before the show, I'm in awe of having you. You're absolutely awesome.
Oh, you are so kind. So are you. Right back at you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. So I'm just going to start, I guess, you know, just to break the ice, a couple of general little questions, you know, like what do you, you know, how do you perceive spirit? Like which way do you, you know, what comes to you first? How does it work for you?
Sure. Well, that's a really great question. You know, I'm a psychic medium, and so I think a lot of people sometimes don't understand the difference between the two. And for me, they're very, very distinct. So when I'm connecting with and perceiving spirit, that's always the mediumship part of me that's doing that. And for me, it's actually a very simple, organized process. Every time I connect, I have this kind of screen that opens up in kind of like this like third eye in my mind that I watch. And all my psychic information always comes on the right. And then all my mediumship always comes on, I'm sorry, all my psychic always comes on the left. left, and all my mediumship always comes on the right. And so what will happen is at some point, or let's say I'm speaking to somebody, I will see this kind of point of light push in on the right-hand side of my screen, and then I'll start receiving information. That's very different from reading psychically. If I'm reading somebody's energy, it's something I consciously, purposely do. It also happens without me trying. I mean, I'm always kind of reading things psychically, but I kind of retrieve the information, or I reach out into that person's kind of aura or energy field to get the information. The mediumship's very different. So when I connect with spirit, it's really just me sitting back and that energy coming to me and feeding me information, you know, communicating with me and receiving a lot of information. It's also a very different process for me energetically. Reading psychically is really not that tiring for me. I like to say, if, you know, if I were a cell phone with a full battery at 100 and I read psychically for an hour, I would be at, you know, 98%. Mediumship is different. I think that there's a certain thing that happens where people who have crossed to the other side and are now like, you know, this beautiful light energy will come and kind of plug into my energy too in order to communicate. And so mediumship for me is very draining. I think it maybe works different for different mediums, but personally, I have to be very careful, you know, about how many readings I do within however much of a time span and, you know, being very aware of my own energy levels, because it is like a very intimate experience.
So for comparison's sake, after an hour of mediumship reading, what is your battery level at?
Yeah, you know, I found that I can go about 2 hours and have enough energy for that. But after an hour, I'd say it's already like dipping below 50%, you know. So it's interesting. I have a lot of energy almost all the time. Like I get very spinny, which is why I have to do readings every single week to balance my energy. But it's this fine balance, you know, of making sure I don't overdo it and I don't underdo it, or I get a little like racy and, you know, I just want to feel like I'm jumping out of my skin otherwise. But yeah, I would say like after a 2 hour, you know, reading, I'm on about 2%. Of a cell phone battery, so to speak.
Well, you know what they say. Spider-Man said that with, you know, great powers comes great responsibility, right? So you gotta make sure you track that.
That's true. You know, I think it's also a very powerful statement in terms of doing mediumship. I think it's a great honor, and I'm deeply humbled that I'm able to do this and that I'm allowed to be a go-between between people. And I think it's also very important to understand to always, you know, be very respectful of how messages are delivered and just never lose sight of what a blessing that is for me to be able to feel the love that goes back and forth between people. And also to ultimately know that life continues. It's you know, such a beautiful message.
That is probably the most powerful message that one, in my opinion, that one can get, is that, you know, life continues. You know,
yeah.
That's so amazing, because you have the hope and the knowledge that you will end up with your loved ones that have crossed over, which is
incredible. That's the truth of it. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, a lot of people that listen to this show and a lot of people that pursue this kind of knowledge are bereaved, fall into that category, myself included. And, that has helped a lot. I mean, I think for me, it's helped more than anything else. We've tried, we've turned to religion. I've turned to religion. That helped a bit. I've turned to counseling. That helped a bit. But I think ultimately it's just, you know, the pursuit of knowledge, for us non-psychic people like myself, that really, you know, that gives us a lot of hope.
You know, that's such a good point, too, about, I love that you just said for non-psychic people. My belief is that really we all are psychic. And one of the things that I love doing more than anything is teaching workshops and showing people how they can access this themselves, too. You know, really, like a lot
that.
Of. Yeah, so a lot of the work I've done with like scientists and testing, you know, ultimately what they say to me is, you know, there's this kind of switch in all of our brains where we can kind of flick it and then access, you know, the other side and access, you know, cords of connection and light and read auras and energy and all of that. And the only difference between me and somebody who doesn't think they're psychic is that I know where the switch is. But we all can relearn it. You know, it's just a matter of switching gears, letting go, and trusting the information you get.
Right.
And I think also knowing that nobody ever needs a medium to get their messages. You know, the other side is trying to talk to you at all times and let you know, like, they're loved, they're okay, they're rooting for us, they're watching over us, you know,
right,
and they're
right,
involved
right.
in everything.
And I think that just like you said, it's trusting the information that you receive. I think the people that can be classified as non-psychic or non-mediumistic are people that have yet to learn to trust that information. You know,
that's such a valid point. Yeah. I think that's the number one first step is to opening your mind and your heart to seeing it, receiving it, and trusting it.
Now, when you do the readings, let's say you schedule somebody in advance, you know, they call, you're probably booked up months in advance, but let's say a John Smith crossed over and Mrs. Smith has made an appointment for, you know, 6 months prior and then the day comes where you do the reading. Do you receive messages from John Smith on that day? Is it a couple of days before? How does that whole process work timing-wise?
Yeah, so I have some rules with, you know, my own spirit guides. You know, we all have spirit guides. They're nobody we knew, you know, this lifetime. But they're advanced souls who we've contracted with to be our teachers and our mentors on the other side. And throughout our whole lives, they're guiding us and helping us. And my spirit guides work with me all the time when I'm doing readings. I call them my spiritual bouncers. And so, you know, I'm a mom of three kids. I'm really, really busy. I taught high school English for 20 years, the same time I was doing this for like so long. And so I established some really strict ground rules with my guides. I said, look, when I'm not doing a mediumship reading, you have to shut me down. You cannot let me get any messages because, number one, it's exhausting and draining. Number two, I don't think it's appropriate to, you know, go up to somebody in the grocery store and be like, hey, have your Uncle Bob here and here are the messages. Like, if that is supposed to happen, that will be arranged by the universe to, you know, be scheduled at a certain time, etc. And I've also said you cannot give me messages before I am actively opening and going to do a reading. And what will happen for me is at the time of the reading, when I'm connecting with that person, I'll take a deep breath in and I'll kind of shift my energy up. And it's almost like this door I feel clicking open. You know, it's kind of up and over to the, you know, the right. And that is, you know, my sign to the other side of, okay, I'm ready for the information to come through. It's almost like unlocking a bank vault door. That's really how it feels to me. And so the way I operate is I don't get anything before I do a reading, which the teacher in me finds a little bit terrifying. You know, like the teacher in me was used to walking into a classroom with a concrete lesson plan and three different ways to teach it and a backup one. Whenever I do a reading, I've got absolutely nothing until I open, and then I
right up until
trust.
The event, right?
Right up until the very moment, you know? And so I just have to trust that the information is going to come through. And, you know, I learned to do that because the minute I open, I kind of forget who I am. My ego disappears and I just dive into, you know, the other side and the information coming. And so it's a very, it's kind of like surrendering in a way, but it's very, very beautiful at the same time.
That's how I work. Does that work in a group setting as well? Have you ever done readings like in front of a large audience?
So I've done readings in front of hundreds of people. I've done large groups. And what happens to me then is I feel like the other side is pushing so hard to get through. And anybody who's physically been around me or seen me, and, you know, Bob and Fran can attest to that, the energy starts spinning through me and I have to shake it out of my hands. I look a little ridiculous, like a flapping bird at times.
Wow.
Because it's like it's pushing so hard to get through and I don't open until the minute I go, you know, in front of the crowd, so to speak. So, you know, I feel like there's a whole line of people trying to get my attention. But you know, my spirit guides clearly are very good that they don't let anybody cross the line or open my door until I'm ready. They're very respectful.
Right. Well, that's fantastic. So that probably, you know, that probably helps you as well with privacy issues as well. You don't want spirits popping up whenever, you know.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of my psychic medium friends, they all knew they were mediums because, you know, they saw, you know, a relative that had crossed, a dead relative at the bottom, the end of their bed. Or like, and I say to the other side, that's a deal breaker for me. Like, when I'm having my normal Laurel and Jackson life, I don't want to be seeing, you know, spirit and get all these messages. You have to let me be a mom and go grocery shopping and do what I need to do without invading that space. But I promise when I'm on and I'm, you know, surrendering to the other side, I will do all this work and I will bring it through. So it keeps my two worlds very concrete, at least most of the time. Very few times people will sneak through. And I always feel like, well, they must have a VIP pass or like my guides must know what they're doing. But for the most part, it works really well for me. And I'm able to live a mostly normal life when I'm trying to, you know.
Right. Now, is there any truth to the saying that, you know, if let's say you you know, like any other human being in the world, you probably have relatives that are close that passed away, or people or friends that were very close to you. Does that, do they manifest themselves differently to you, or do they come across more because, you know, you have a desire to communicate with them or anything like that? Or do you apply the same rules to those spirits as well?
Well, I have, you know, it's very interesting because doing what I do and being a medium has helped me tremendously with navigating my own grief. My father crossed to the other side about a year and a half ago, it was really, like, it was very magical, the messages I got, starting actually even right before he crossed when he was not conscious, and then over the weeks and the months and my siblings and my mother and I, and, like, we shared the phenomenal, unbelievable, like, incredible signs and, you know, messages he sent us. And it made our process of grieving so much more fluid. And right. It was shared and it was beautiful because
those
I could feel his presence.
Yeah, when it's cross-correspondences like that, that's very strong, very strong.
Yeah, yeah. So for me, it's like I never mind if, like, those are my VIPs. My guides know, like, if anybody I love who's on the other side wants to come through to me with a message, they will. And for me, it's like they tap in not just on my screen, but actually into my energy where I will feel their presence with me. You know, so it's really quite wonderful because it's another tool for me to help, you know, navigate my world because of my love and my connections to my relatives and loved one on the other side. And it validates and strengthens for me my knowing that, you know, relationships don't end with death. I mean, I think my relationships with my dad's, like, even way better now that he's crossed. Like, we're closer than we've ever been. And so that's a really beautiful thing.
Wow, that's really cool. There's so much to discuss just on that subject alone.
Yeah.
When you see these, or when you have these perceptions, are they mostly auditory, visual? Are they clairsentient? Like, the different clairs.
Yeah. So, you know, I always talk about the four clairs as our toolbox, and they're really our psychic toolbox, but it's also the tools that the other side use to connect with us and give us our information. For me, whenever I'm connecting, it's a multi-sensory experience. So, you know, the four clairs that I work with the most are clairvoyance, which is clairseeing, which is for when we go to sleep at night and we dream and we see vividly and yet our physical eyes are closed. That is our psychic sight. That is always there. We don't really need these eyes to, you know, see in that sense. And when we're free of our physical bodies, we still have full sight. That's also why a lot of people who maybe when they were here, if they had vision problems or were blind, have complete sight once they cross, you know. So there's clairvoyance. And so sometimes I'll get pictures, symbols, images as a communication. A lot of times the other side will play movie clips for me, not necessarily of a movie that happened already, more like I'm watching a scene unfold to get me to understand things about whether if I'm reading for a sitter, it's for that person, or if it's my own loved ones coming through, it's to understand the situation. I'm clairaudient, which means, you know, clear hearing. I will hear thoughts that aren't mine, you know, inside my head. It's not like an outside noise, it's inside. And they're never scary. They're loving or beautiful, or they'll say, do this or do that. There's claircognizance, which I have very acutely, and that happens for me a lot, which is just clear knowing. It's this download of information where I just absolutely know something in every ounce of my being, but there's no logical way to know it. And I think my loved ones and the other side communicates with us a lot in that way, where we just have a knowing. And then there's clairsentience, which is clear feeling, of course. And that includes, like, feeling other people's energy and the energy of place, and also the energy of people you love being around you. And, you know, sometimes they'll communicate to me that way, how they cross, by making me have a certain sensation or feeling, or, you know, like a pressure in the chest rising means congestive heart failure, whatever it might be. So my loved ones are just like everybody else's loved ones on the other side. They'll use all those things to get me to understand things. And a lot of times the clairvoyant part is almost like psychic charades, where I'll have to associate an image with what it means. You know, the language that the other side uses to communicate in, it's not English. You know, from time to time I will hear names, or I'll hear phrases or words, but for the most part it's this emotional language that then I translate into English, which is also why when I have, you know, sitters whose relatives never spoke a word of English, a lot of times those relatives on the other side, they'll let me hear the sound of their language so I can identify it, whether it's, you know, Japanese or, you know, Russian or Italian. And then they'll speak to me in this kind of emotional language, which is crystal clear, and I just translate it. It's kind of like the way I say it is, like, you know how some people talk in emojis and that means certain things? It's a little similar to that.
That was actually, you know, you answered a, you killed two birds with one stone there, because I was going to ask you about the language barriers and constraints.
See, Roman, I knew that. That was, I psychically looked.
That's awesome. Well, you know what? In the last 15 minutes, you shared an encyclopedia's worth of information. But you know what? We're going to go to a quick commercial break. And here's a word from our sponsors, and we will definitely continue. And if there's any people that want to give a call to us at our phone number that I mentioned before, I'll mention it again. It's 888-627-6008. Please feel free to call and ask Laura Lynn any questions you might want that are non-reading related. And we'll be right back. Thank you very much.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perazzetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Am I Psychic is a mobile app designed using statistics, science, and parapsychological protocols to test psychic ability using fun games. Each game has two unique modes. In psychokinesis mode, influence the game using mind over matter ability. In extrasensory perception mode, guess which random option will be chosen. Am I Psychic can store your results in an anonymous database used to eventually publish in academic journals. Available on the App Store and Google Play. Go to ampsychicapp.com and be a part of proving psychic phenomena to the world. Some profits will be donated to the Rhine Research Center.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody. So we got some callers on the line, and let's see. We have Don. Why don't you put the first caller through? Hi, Kim.
Hi.
Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for calling. And you have a question for Laura?
I do. First, I just want to say that I've been to your luncheons and your workshops. I've read your book, and it's been very helpful to me.
Oh, thank you so much, Kim.
My question is it possible for somebody on the other side to send you a message in a dream that someone will be passing? Is that possible?
Okay, well, that's a really excellent question. The very short answer is yes, that is absolutely possible. And the longer explanation for that, I really feel, it's very important to note that if that happens, it's not to frighten you. It's not, you know, to give you bad news. It's to help prepare you, but most importantly, to let you know that loved ones on the other side are sort of, they're on it. They're waiting to greet that person. They're waiting to welcome that person home. And so anytime I feel and we get communication from the other side or any information I ever get when I'm reading for a sitter, I know that it's information that is for the sitter or for the person who's having the dream's highest path. You know, the other side only works with love and kindness and forgiveness and support. There's no negativity that comes from the other side. And so if that dream happens and then the person does cross, it's really so that all of us in the here and now can know there's always a plan and nobody crosses alone. And there, everybody's loved and goes to a place of love. And so I think that's why that might happen.
Yeah, that happened to me. I had a dream and it was my grandmother and I could hear her clear as day. Mm-hmm. And all she said was, he's going to be all right. At the time, I didn't know what she meant, but then my son had passed away 2 months after that.
I'm so sorry for the physical loss of your son,
that.
But I think that's exactly what she was doing, is exactly what I was explaining. It's always to let you know that they're there, they're loving, they're going to cross that person. And I don't think you were meant to know the who he was before, because I think it was a message that came through to you so that when that happened, you would think back and you would know. But that's my point too, that it wasn't ever meant to scare you. You know, it was meant to later on provide comfort and reassurance. I mean, and look at how profound and beautiful that message is, because life does continue. So for her to come and do that, it not only lets you know that, you know, they're waiting to greet him, but also that there is some sort of cosmic plan and that we're all here on earth learning these collective lessons in love. You know, that's the other thing, is no one person's life will ever make sense. If you just look at it from the context of, you know, exactly what happened to the person in that life, it's how we connect with one another. The love that we share, those cords of love continue after bodily, you know, death. The relationships continue. And I think that was her way of letting you know, we're on this, we love him, like, you're going to be okay, and that life goes on and continues after bodily, you know, death. And, you know, just to reassure you ahead of time in a way.
Right, well, and it was kind of a comfort to know that he was going to be, that he was with her.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And I'm sure he sent you plenty of signs, you know, directly as well, since his crossing, yes?
Well, you know, I've been to your workshops, and I'm trying to keep an open mind and see the signs. I know he probably has. I just don't know if I'm open to it yet.
Well, you know, it can make it really hard. Yeah. It can. Grief can make it really hard. It almost numbs you a little bit. It makes it almost hard to see the signs. I have a story that that's going into my next book about, you know, a very personal one with my own family where we had, you know, my mom had a sign with my dad and it was actually a purple elephant. And we went to the cemetery after he died. And then we said, okay, let's go get lunch somewhere. And we drove into this little town next to the cemetery and we found a place to get lunch. It wasn't so great. And then on the way back, we passed a restaurant, this little restaurant called The Purple Elephant, with a big purple elephant statue out front that we had passed en route to finding. And we had all missed it the first time. And we laughed so hard. And it turned out it was the most amazing restaurant because I ended up going back weeks later to try it. And I thought, here my dad had set this up, given us the sign, and we just drove straight past it and didn't notice. And it was because we were all very, like, very much in grief at that moment, you know, thinking about how much we missed him and all that. So don't be hard on yourself. But just trust it, trust the process, and maybe come up with a few different signs. Like I always encourage people to choose like a tangible item, like maybe an animal, and then also a phrase, you know, like maybe the phrase love you more or to the moon and back, and then a song. You know, come up with a multitude of ways that, you know, your loved one on the other side can talk back to you, because I promise you, he's been doing it. It's just sometimes hard to catch it when we're so distracted by, you know, so much else that goes on in the world, as well as our grief.
Exactly. I just have to open up to it. I'm just not there yet, but.
And that's okay. You'll get there. It's just staying open. That's the most important step.
Kim, thank you so much for your call. That's a great question.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so, hey, Don, let's put on the next caller, please. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Good. I'm fine, actually.
Good. I'm glad to hear
that. So I appreciate the opportunity to... yeah, actually, I do. Along the lines of what the previous caller, Kim, was referring to, we... Wife and I also suffered a loss last year, and we really are struggling. We've been to Laura Lynn. We were there in October in New York, that Saturday or Sunday. I guess it was a Sunday when you were there, Laura Lynn. And we've read your book. We've found it to be very helpful. In fact, it was amazing because I just got a text from a friend in California that was with, I guess a friend of theirs I didn't even know, and over lunch just earlier today they were talking about he had a loss, I think it was a spouse, and he had read your book, and I just coincidentally texted him back and said, you're on tonight, and I don't even know this guy. I mean, mutual friend, and anyway, he was so excited. I'm sure he's listening tonight. I don't even know his name, but the two questions I have is, We took over my son's dog. He's been with us through the winter, and it's been tremendous to have him. But I wonder if the dog has any connection.
Well, I'm going to tell you something very interesting about dogs too, because I know it's very, I think, difficult sometimes to talk about when, because you're plugging into all that energy too. But I just want to tell you a little something, and then you can continue to ask whatever question. But there's something very beautiful about dogs. And there's something that I've come to understand because the other side has told me and I have witnessed it myself. Animals, dogs see spirit. And they don't feel the physical loss completely in the same way we do, because they will physically see and feel when, you know, energy comes around. So when your son comes around, the dog will pick up on that, sense that, see that. And a lot of times dogs will look at you
look at like what we see as like an empty space, start acting really weird, sometimes bark, sometimes act like, don't you see that? Don't you see this? Don't you see what's going on? And I think they're a little perplexed that we don't see and experience what they do. You know, I think for us as human beings, our brains are a little bit like a dunce cap. You know, most of us, once we get out of our, you know, early years, so usually around age 3 to 5, certainly around age 5, when we start formal schooling, we stop using and accessing all these other beautiful parts of our brains, you know, the part that connects us to the other side and each other and allows us to see things. And we start getting stuck in the frontal lobe of our brain. You know, that's where all our language, math, analytical skills, critical thinking, all of that, like the monkey brain chatter part, takes place. And most of us stay there completely until we fall asleep at night, which is also why at night we have communication with the other side. We get information, we have dream visitation, because we're finally freeing ourselves from that part of the brain. Animals, though, they don't have the same parameters we do with, you know, what parts of the brain they're using. And so I don't think they ever get stuck there. I think they always stay accessed to energy. I think they read energy, whether that energy is here or it's spirit from the other side, and I think they react to it. And I think that dog absolutely wants to be with you. And there's almost like a bridge of love, or, you know, the dog is acting as a conductor of that love energy, or as a validation of that love energy between, you know, your loved one on the other side and you here.
I wonder, just one other question along the lines of what Kim asked you. You know, I, this particular son was, we were really kindred spirits. And, we talked a lot, and I've been told, you know, that, you know, and even when we met you, actually, in that large meeting, you know, you said he had a very strong spirit. He was anxious to communicate, but I've had literally no communication with him. And I'm going to say
the same thing, you know, and I totally understand that. I'm going to say the same kind of along the lines as I just said, too. I promise you, he's trying to communicate with you. I think it's really, really hard when we are deep in grief. And grief is such like a winding road, you know. One day you'll feel okay, and the next day everything falls out in a millisecond from beneath you. And I think sometimes it's really, really hard, and we almost have to push through that or heal from that before we start feeling it or recognizing it more. It's almost like when you go to the dentist and you get Novocaine. You know your cheek is still there. You know your tongue is still there, but you can't feel it. You know, you just have no sense of it. And I think grief does that to us. It numbs us. It numbs us from our connections to, you know, the outside world. It's a very difficult, very visceral process. And I'm going to say the same thing to you. Don't fault yourself. Your only job here is to keep your mind and your heart open to that connection. Whether or not you're able to receive the signs yet, talk to him anyway. Talk in your thoughts. He will always, always hear you. Whenever we direct our thoughts to anyone on the other side, they hear us. And I would say ask for something specific. Make it more than one thing. You can even ask for, you know, your loved one to go to somebody else, like in the family or a friend, and get them to say a certain word or phrase to you. And they might have no idea why they're saying it, but you'll get your message. So you can almost use, you know, other people that you're connected to as a vehicle or as a medium, if you will, to get your signs and your language. Because establishing a new language is hard. You know, I've learned French before. It was a struggle for me. It took a really long time. I tried to learn German, and I was terrible at it. But it's a long, long process learning new words, being able to identify and use them. I need you to think of this in the same way. It's a new language you're creating together. It's not the easiest process.
If I might suggest something as well, I have a son that crossed over about 9 years ago, and Mark, I was where you are. I mean, I couldn't even talk about it, and I'd start breaking up and everything. But, you know, time has healed a little bit. The pain is still very real. But what I did, I mean, I dove into the study of the afterlife and all that kind of stuff. But I actually tried some experiments on my own. I tried doing EVP. I bought a little digital recorder with some white noise and all that kind of stuff. And I actually got some results. And it, they weren't like the biggest results in the world, but just the fact that you get something really, really alleviates the pain and just gives you a lot of hope. So, I mean, it doesn't have to be EVP, which is electronic voice phenomenon, by the way. It could be, you know, other forms as well. You can try, you know, out-of-body experiences, trying to have lucid dreams. There's techniques to achieve all of that. So, I mean, that's just my suggestion. I mean, Laura is definitely more the expert on this, but I just wanted to give you some of my personal.
No, that's an excellent suggestion. Excellent. And it also makes me think of something else, which is the other side loves to use electronics to get through to us, too. So pay very careful attention to your cell phone, to, you know, blank text messages or like blank messages in general, or if electronic things go wonky. And I have a feeling your son does that. Like, I really feel that he communicates through electrical things at times too. You know,
well, I don't want to take much more time, but I just wanted to relate one really incredible thing. On his first birthday, which happened to be his 40th birthday after his passing last year, I sent him a message to his cell phone, which I knew had been turned off,
mm-hmm.
just congratulating him and on his birthday and telling him how much we missed him.
Yeah.
And I then deleted it from my cell phone recently because I just couldn't have it on my cell phone anymore. And I deleted it, you know, have a regular whatever. The Android or kind of what cell phones mm-hmm. are. And so I deleted it and it was gone. And then I went to send a text, I think to my wife. And that message appeared.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Deleted.
There you go.
It had been deleted like months before. And it just shocked me. I just was dumbfounded that this message
go.
I had deleted just reappeared on my cell phone. That's pretty amazing.
And that's what I was just saying. Like, I feel like he communicates you through electronics, and the cell phones are the number one. They just love now that we have these, you know, cell phones. It's fantastic.
Maybe,
so there you go. There's perfect example of you.
Well, I guess, I don't know. It just freaked me out is all I can say. But in any event, Laura Lynn, I really appreciate your time, and we did. It was great being there last October, and we hope our paths cross again.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you
absolutely.
So much for the call, Mark. Thank you so much for
thank
the call.
Thank you, Roman. I appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very
thank
much.
Thank you.
So we have still another caller. Chris, if you're listening, hang on. We're going to go for a commercial break, and when we get back, we're going to take Chris as another caller, okay? Thanks, everybody.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941. 3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word, .com.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love Knows No Death, a groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method, can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Parisetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook could be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at ForeverFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back, everybody, and I would like to now welcome our caller, Chris, on the phone with a question. Chris, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Do you have a, you have a question for Laura?
I do have a question, okay. But first I just want to thank Laura for doing what she does. I think it's awesome.
Oh, thank you, Chris. It's so nice to connect with you.
Thank you. Thank you. My question is, I had two significant dreams. About 10 years ago, 6 months before my wife got pregnant, I dreamt I was going to have a little girl. So we had a little girl. My next dream was that my father was going to die, and this was a couple of years ago, about 4 months before he passed. I kind of have the idea that, I mean, I'm getting something. What would be the best way to develop that?
You know, I love that question. I love that you're open to developing it. I think, you know, the number one step in developing your abilities is declaring that you're ready to, you know, kind of opening your arms wide to the other side and saying, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to learn and I'm ready to be open. Because once that starts, you really put yourself on a beautiful journey. And it's a, you know, co-collaborative journey because the other side's going to work with you. It sounds to me, Chris, that you, are very, very clairvoyant. You know, we all have the four clairs, but some of us have like really like a strength in one of them, and then we can develop the other ones. And the really interesting thing about all of our abilities is when you work on developing any one of them, the rest all open as well. It's kind of like this blossoming of a flower. So really, you can pick whichever one you want to work on. Like I said, it sounds like you have very strong
clairvoyant since it came through in dreams. So it was when you're asleep and you're, you know, that's when the switch in your brain kind of went offline and allowed you to access the other side and knowledge in another way and perceive things through other, you know, means of understanding and communication. A lot of times, you know, what will happen for most people in the dream state too is the things that we feel the strongest emotions about, we will get information on. And the strongest emotion is always love. So your daughter's soul coming into your life and choosing you to be her dad, that was this cord of love that was there and then came into being. And so that's why I would think you had that precognitive dream. Your love for your father and his soul. It's you knowing that his soul was going to go on a journey, and for the same reasons, again, to reassure you that death is not the end of anything and that we're all watched over and we are all loved. And again, no one crosses alone. We're all greeted, you know, on the other side by a team of light. And, you know, that's our real home to begin with. It's where we all return. It's where we all reunite. But I would say for you, maybe work on your clairvoyance to start with. You know, I run one day workshops that I love doing. I'm also doing a weekend workshop in October. I'm doing one in the city in June 3rd, I think. And that one in June 3rd, it's called Psychic Boot Camp. But one of the things I do is I work on helping people open clairvoyantly. And one really great way to work on, you know, developing that psychic sight is to do what I call remote viewing. All you would need for this, Chris, is you just need some friend or somebody you know to basically choose something that you're going to remote view and not tell you about it until after you remote view it. And the way it works is that you would just get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, and your friend or your loved one could choose a target picture for you to draw. You know, that person could rip it out of a magazine, or it could be a photo they've taken or anything like that, but hidden from you. And then the directive is to draw it. And you can't draw it using your physical eyes, but you can draw it using your third eye. Now, every time I do this in a workshop, people are exasperated initially, you know, pen and paper in hand, thinking, I can't do this. This will never work. Are you kidding me? And then they start. And every time they get the shapes right. I once had a student, I ran a 12-week course once, and by the end of the course, she had remote viewed this picture to the, like, most unbelievable detail. It was of a doorway with two children and a dog and a certain shaped window and two plants, and she had it down exactly. I would not have believed it had I not been doing it and known that nobody saw this picture. So my point is, it works. And you can develop it. And by developing that, all your other abilities are going to unfold as well. So, and if you Google it too, remote viewing is fascinating. You know, it was used by our government during the Cold War to try and, you know, really, and they trained like regular people in the military. They just chose people who seemed to have some abilities and then trained them, because anybody can do this. You know, this is our psychic eye. This is our third eye, our clairvoyance. And so I think once you start doing that too, you'll gain a confidence and you'll even open more to other abilities. I mean, there's so many different techniques you can use, and you can develop all of them, you know, doing different fun kind of exercises. But that's a great one to start with, and to even spend a little time researching, because you'll find, I think, the topic fascinating.
I think Russell Targ is a very good resource for that. He was very involved with the U.S. government's operation with remote viewing. And I believe today's his birthday, by the way. I just saw that on Facebook.
Now, that's not a coincidence, if that's true.
Yeah. So Russell Targ is a good place to start, I think, if you want to learn more about remote viewing.
Okay.
So thank you very much for your question, Chris.
And one other thing I just want to tell you, Chris, before you go, is that I would recommend for you to start a dream journal. It's a little bit of a pain in the butt, because the last thing you want to do when you first wake up in the morning is to journal. But I have a sneaking suspicion that while those are the two dreams that stand out to you, I think the other side, your guides, your loved ones are talking to you many times during the night, many nights. So if you write down whatever you can remember of your dreams, I think you're going to find that there's symbolism in them, and that they're giving you messages much more frequently than you realize.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Laura. I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. It was great talking to you.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye for now. So, hey, just touching a little bit more on the dreams, And you had said earlier about, you know, that we are connected with our dreams to our spirits and to our spiritual loved ones and all of that. What would you recommend for me? I'm being a little selfish here, but what would you recommend for me to increase my ability to remember dreams?
I don't think that, first of all, I don't think that's selfish at all, because I think your question pertains to everybody. So you're actually being very altruistic here, number one. Number two, you know, I think that before you go to bed, taking a moment to breathe, this is going to sound silly, but this really works. Like, breathe in very deeply through your nose and out through your mouth three times. And saying to your guides and your loved ones and God, you know, I always say the universe. It's my word for God, you know, God energy. Mm-hmm. Saying to the other side, to your team of light on the other side, which is comprised of your guides, your loved one, and God energy, that you are open and ready for any messages and guidance, and that you are full of gratitude for whatever they will send you. Because love and gratitude are really our two highest emotions. So when we kind of swim in those, beautiful things can unfold and happen.
Perfect.
And then I would also say, program it at that same time for you to, and you know, ask for you to please remember and retain the dream as you're waking up. I have found that I have gotten my, you know, before I started reading professionally, when I was still, you know, young, a young child and a teenager, I would get very powerful precognitive dreams of communication.
We have to, told that we have to wrap it up because we got, you know, the scheduling constraints and all of that kind of thing.
Just
before we go, I want to thank you so much for being part of the show. And I want to also mention that on Sunday, May 6th at the Huntington Hotel in Long Island, New York, there's going to be one of the world's best parapsychologists and expert on ghosts and hauntings and phenomena. Lloyd Auerbach will be teaming up with Forever Certified Medium Kim Russo for a compelling afternoon of learning and communication. So it's a scrumptious day of luncheon, dynamic presentation about evidence, case histories. Go to the Forever Foundation site and you can actually see more about it. It's a luncheon that they're sponsoring, and all the money raised on that goes to help the Forever Family Foundation. So again, thank you very much. Thank you to all our callers, and we're going to say goodbye for now, and we're wrapping it up, and I will talk to everybody in about a month from now. And again, thank you so much, Laura. You're awesome.
Thank you. It's such an honor to be here, and that luncheon is going to be amazing. Lloyd and Kim are phenomenal, so everybody should go to that.
Thank you so much. Okay. Good night, everybody.